Welcome in, everyone, to Morning Invest on this January 13th. That's why you got to watch us live, guys. If you're watching the replay, we have a lot of fun in our pre-show. We were talking about all kinds of international travel and the difference between a British breakfast and an American breakfast. So you got to watch our live pre-show. We're live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So please join us. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the dollar crash. The new report out this morning shows, I mean, an absolute crushing statistic for the U.S. dollar, as well as new inflation numbers out this morning. Really troubling. This is different than the inflation numbers we brought you yesterday, a totally different chart and a totally different index. So we'll look at where the U.S. dollar is going and why inflation continues to run absolutely out of control.
And Bernie Sanders says that Democrats are not really all that interested in supporting the American worker. In fact, any of the programs you might be interested in, such as a child tax care credit or any stimulus, are basically not on the table. What are Democrats doing?
Shooting themselves in the foot, apparently. And tax refunds. We brought you the data about tax refunds. We're getting some now more insight into what the IRS is doing around your tax refunds, and it's not good. But at the same time, new data out this morning on the IRS shows that they're collecting record amounts in taxes. So they're able to take your money. They're just not able to refund your money. All of that and more as Morning Invest starts right now.
We're so glad you joined us today. Thank you for coming. We have a lot of economic news today that we're going to talk about, and specifically economic news that affects you. For instance, the inflation in the United States has begun to affect the dollar's value overseas. But before we get into that, we want to tell you we have a newsletter. I hope you are subscribed. It's morninginvest.com. It is free, and it gives you a little sneak peek of what we're going to talk about, and plus some other things that you might want to discuss with your friends.
I saw someone in the chat say they love the morning newsletter. It's their favorite part of starting their morning, that it's highly informative and it's factual.
And so sometimes it's funny.
We try to be.
I like to think that it's funny.
We had a story. Paparazzi grabbed a picture the other day of Justin Bieber at a bus stop, and you could see the newsletter on his phone.
No. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's amazing. Kim Kardashian was caught the other day reading the Morning Invest newsletter. So all the celebrities are reading it. So it's really, I think, the greatest newsletter in America. So you got to check that out.
Definitely. For instance, we led today with two ladies went to what it looked like was their ex-boyfriend's house or something like that and glitter bombed him, and they got arrested for it. You can't attack people with glitter. Could blind you. Or something.
I guess. Yeah. Don't do that.
What happened to the good old days?
Also, we have a way that you can become a channel member if you want to support independent journalism and support what we do here at YouTube. We are not run by billionaires. We don't have any of, Jeff Bezos's money. We don't have any of CNN's money, any of Rupert Murdoch's money. We are independent, and you can support us for the price of a cup of coffee once a month by going to morninginvest.com/join is how you can become a channel member. And then during our show, we have our members only chat. That way we have a civilized conversation here. And we have a lot of great people here in the chat who join us every day. Lisa Pettit, Tammy Diaz, Sophie Messer, Deborah Molka, let's see, Jason Frank, Dee Pearson, Michelle Brown, Sam Motler, Stephanie Rossi, Belinda Edwards, Amy Perkins. Maybe I'm saying your names
multiple times. We recognize your names.
Yeah,
yes. I'm just reading them off here. Appreciate your contribution all the time.
Yes, Noel, Grimm, yes, all of you guys. Kate T., good to see all of you guys. All right, let's start with the big story this morning, which is the U.S. dollar decline. And boy, this number on the U.S. dollar is not good. The dollar slumps as U.S. inflation surges is the headline on CNBC this morning. And this is really troubling for Democrats as they head in toward the midterm elections. The U.S. dollar currency index, which tracks the greenback against six major currencies, was down almost a full percentage point. At 94. Look at that, down 94. That slipped as low as 94.9. It's lowest since November 11th. And this, again, shows, of course, consumer price surges in December and new inflation data out this morning on the PPI. This is a totally different index, by the way. Like the PPI yes. index is totally different. You want to explain this?
Do you have the chart? Yes, this one here.
This one?
No, right, to that the one? Left. Not that one. Yes, that one.
Okay.
But if you look at the US dollar to euro and other currencies, you'll see that it still is, though, at an all-time high. It's only slipped in the last quarter. And it has been trending up. So will it start to trend down now? Was that a bubble? It's hard to say. But the dollar at the beginning, if you look at this chart, you can see that it's around, well, it's well into the pandemic. It starts January 2020. So a year in, the dollar was trending quite low until last year. And it started to trend up around May, June, and just kept getting stronger and stronger. So now that, I mean, it did seem like the United States was experiencing economically what all other currencies were experiencing economically due to the pandemic. It was global. Now we're seeing the dollar start to slip. And so you need to ask yourself, is the United States experiencing something that is not part of global economics? Is the inflationary number specifically only affecting the United States and the products inside the United States?
Well, and the dollar's problem right now, I mean, if you look at overall, is though the market is already has this like hawkish expectation for the Fed this year, right? So we already know that this guy, Jerome Powell, is going to be increasing interest rates through this year, right? So as hot as the CPI price was yesterday, the consumer price index, it really sort of reinforced already what's being baked in for the US dollar and this Fed policy, already planning this hawkish press. So this isn't like a surprise, right? This isn't like suddenly out of the blue. I guess what I'm saying is that dollar price is aware of where the Fed is going with going to raise interest rates. Now, today, Lael Brainard has her confirmation hearing. She's going to be the right-hand woman to Chair Powell. The two of them will work in tandem. Remember, this is Biden's new appointee for the Fed, Lael Brainard. And she said unequivocally yesterday, she said the number one concern for the Federal Reserve is inflation. All of our faculties and resources will be focused on making sure that we combat inflation. I mean, that's amazing, right? She's saying that. And what is President Biden doing? What are Democrats doing right now? There's no discussion about inflation. There's no real move towards combating inflation. What they're focused on is voting rights.
No, and the company line right now is that that's not our responsibility. The inflation is due to corporate greed. Basically, we cannot fight it. There's nothing we can do about it, right? This was not their line when they were on the campaign trail just a year ago.
Right.
But now they're saying it's out of our hands, guys. What we can do is, you know, do some legislation around voting rights. We also put up a social spending bill that seems to be circling the drain. But the rest of it, the things that are actually affecting you, not our problem.
No, I mean,
and not within our reach to fix.
Well, I mean, first of all, that might be accurate, right? I mean, one of the things that actually probably is accurate in many ways. But I guess the disconnect that I find, so let me just provide some context here. One of the things that Alan Greenspan, the former head of the Federal Reserve, said a number of years ago, he said one of the great laugh tracks, one of the great pieces of comedy is that any politician can do anything about inflation. Okay. That when they start getting out there saying they're going to go after inflation, like the White House was doing last week, they're going to go after meat producers.
Wait, who said this?
Alan Greenspan.
Uh-huh.
Politicians can't do anything really about inflation. And he said it's when politicians get out there and pretend that they can, it's laughable. It's really laughable. However, what they can do, what the president can do, is really push and lean on the Federal Reserve to accelerate this removal of stimulus, accelerate this removal of buying up mortgages. Think about what President Trump did when he was president. Okay.
He browbeat Powell until he dropped interest rates.
Dropped interest rates. Exactly. Every day on Twitter, he was slamming Jerome Powell. Now, maybe not the classiest way of doing it, but Joe Biden could absolutely be out there talking about the inflationary pressures for American people, could be talking about how shelves are empty, how people are suffering. And instead, he's in Georgia doing speeches on voting rights.
I don't think I agree with Alan Greenspan, this quote
you don't
that
think,
you're saying.
Well, then
that
how?
Politicians can do nothing. Well, their social spending has an economic result, right? If you're spending a lot and giving the government more money, that results in inflation.
Well,
when you flood an economy with money, but that money doesn't go into the pockets of everyday people, that results in inflation. And Democrats have spent a lot in the, since they've been in power in the last year.
But isn't, I mean, inflation really comes down to supply and demand, as we know, right? So we have a supply crunch. Companies cannot open their factories.
I don't think that's the only contributing factor to inflation. When there is more money in circulation and it is not in the hands of the average people, you get inflation. Well, and there is, in fact, more money.
Are they still doing quantitative easing? Like, are they still printing money by the month?
Right. Yes. And so that's my point here, is that what the White House could be doing is continuing to go after Fed Powell. Now, Fed Powell said yesterday, right, during his Senate testimony, or sorry, on Tuesday, right, he said we don't need to have this aggressive stimulus. Okay, great. So then why in the hell is the Fed still continuing to buy up mortgage-backed securities and funneling billions of dollars? Like, if you know that this is the case, and we do not need this aggressive stimulus, and this perhaps is the reason why that you're seeing all of these corporate profits off the charts.
Well, because the things that the Fed is buying is not necessarily junk bonds that it thinks just will, like, keep the bottom from falling out of the market, but they're also buying up funds that are managed by BlackRock that contain things like Walmart and Home Depot. They're not just, like, buying up the crap. They're buying up the cream too, for themselves.
Which is my point. I guess what I'm saying is, when you have Joe Biden, who's out on the campaign trail, basically spending all of his time right now focused on voting rights. I mean, Punchbowl News this morning had a full breakdown of what the president and Democrats have been spending their time doing over the past few days. And it's been nonstop meetings about voting legislation. So today we're going to see this voting legislation come up for a vote. And it's not going to pass at all.
It won't pass the House.
It's not going to pass the Senate.
Yes.
Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin have no intention of altering filibuster rules to pass voter legislation, and it's going to fail. And so we already know this. They've known this for weeks. And a lot of Democrats are saying, what are you doing wasting your time on this?
Well, doesn't this feel calculated to you? Because think about this, like, so they're going around and they're buying all this stuff up, and they have to know at some point we're gonna run into a mortgage crisis again and all this other stuff. Like, the economy is gonna fail, and what's gonna happen is people are gonna lose their homes again. And then when they go to get homes or apartments that they can actually afford, guess who's gonna own them?
Yeah. So, well, that's exactly
right.
So they already, I mean, that's what happened in 2008, right? So all of these big companies who are propped up by Wall Street are buying up all of these homes. One out of every seven homes in the United States is purchased by Wall Street. And we have this unbelievable rise in rents. We saw a report today out of New York City and how rents have now broken a record in New York City. And even non-doorman buildings versus doorman buildings are seeing an increase in rents. So rent is out of control, and the prices for homes are seeing, you know, upwards of 15 to 20% increases in values. So why is the Fed continuing to buy up these mortgage securities?
Well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That puts people in a position where, like, then if the government also owns your house, then if you don't comply with what they want or pay your taxes or whatever, they can kick you out of your home, and they own it.
Yeah.
Like, talk about a social credit score like this. That seems to me like it's moving more towards something like that.
And I'll point you to these numbers, which shows that profits for these S&P 500 companies in a new report out just 2 hours ago shows that 22% increase in the fourth quarter, nearly a 50% profit increase in 2021 for Fortune 500 companies, these S&P 500 companies.
So, I mean, bolstered in no small part by the fact that they are included in these funds that mm-hmm. the government has been buying up since the pandemic. Why? Why do that with tax money, right? If their companies are doing just fine, that is not quantitative easing.
Right. I mean, again, and I just don't follow it here. I mean, I really don't get it when you have these new government numbers that are coming out this morning specifically on inflation. So we have these new PPI numbers, which, let me put these here, which we're just getting in this morning, which show the government's data as of on the producer price index set for release this morning, coming in about 9.8%. Now, that's different, of course, than the 7.5% on the consumer side. Mm-hmm. So these numbers are even higher, the new numbers that we just got out this morning. That's the fastest rise year over year in this new Thursday number on the PPI, and on the producer price index. And it's not as sexy as the consumer price index, because consumer price tied directly to the, you know, the goods and services, the goods you see at the grocery store.
Right. But these are, this is a measure of wholesale prices, right? So how much are the companies actually paying for the products that they are selling you? But when you look at the 7% number, we broke it down in the newsletter this morning, how it actually affects different working class people, right? So people on Social Security who only got 5.9% increase in January, and now the consumer price index is 7% increase. So you got a negative 1.1% raise. In the defense budget, the military was getting 2.7% a raise this year, right? But that's a negative 4.3%. Yeah. Working families lost 2.7% in terms of their buying power, the average salary, right? So this is affecting actual people, not just, yeah, the wholesale price. Okay, that's going to affect a company's bottom line, but they are absolutely passing that increase on to you.
So what do you do? You know, if you're buying, I mean, maybe one area right now is to look at buying some of these bonds up, that where the U.S. dollar is down, you buy up a bond right now at a cheaper price, holding it for a number of years. In, you know, we're not financial advisors here, but when you're looking at what's happening, what's going to be coming down the pike this year for Wall Street, stocks are going to be hit absolutely crushed.
But
this
you
year.
Really think the U.S. dollar is a good
No.
Bet?
U.S. bonds. I mean, U.S. Treasury bonds.
But
I'm
looking it's at, still buying the dollar and with the dollar.
Again, banking on the fact that you think the dollar will come back.
Is so, that what you think?
No.
So why did you say
well,
that?
Well, I'm just saying. Well, look, I maybe it's the cynic in me about the U.S. dollar. I just think that the U.S. government has a way of propping up the U.S. dollar artificially time and time again.
Right.
And I think we're going to continue to see more of that artificial propping up. At some point, though, the propping up, the house of cards has to fall down, right?
Yes. So let's not bet right. on that. Like, maybe this is not the time.
Right. I guess if you think that the full faith and credit of the United States government is on its way down and collapsing, I mean, I'd love to hear what people are doing in the chat. Like, where are you putting your money right now? Are you, you know, putting it in crypto, putting it outside of this corrupt government banking system?
Or put it in tangible assets? There's a great anecdote in, I know I mention a lot the Wealthability podcast, but Tom Wheelwright, who is a CPA and tries to educate people on what the government is doing and how that affects your own wealth. It's a fantastic podcast. And he tells a story about how, what African nation he was in. I can't remember the one of them where their entire economy collapsed and overnight their money was worth basically nothing. And he asked someone who, when he was visiting this country, what did you do when your currency collapsed? And he said, well, every time I got a paycheck, I just decided to go out and buy either a goat or a sheep. Or something like that, like some type of livestock that was a producing asset, right? Something that it's no longer currency. It's no longer just based on a belief system of an economy. It was something that actually like milk could feed his family or it could produce something in like a tangible, hard asset, right? And so now is the time for us all to start thinking about what is on our balance sheet that is a goat or a sheep. I'm not telling you to buy a goat or a sheep, but what do you have that produces outside of your own body and the cash in your account? Because as someone in the chat pointed out just yesterday, inflation makes savers losers. And that sucks because we are always taught save, 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 right? But you're losing due to inflation. And that is a punch to the gut.
Yeah, again,
I wish you'd said that before I hit purchase on that goat on eBay. Now I can't cancel that, it.
David, that was a bad idea.
That's good. So, don't worry, it's no problema.
No problema. But it's absolutely right. Like this idea that you are buying things that are going to depreciate or you're buying things that are, you know, not a hedge against inflation. When just think about those numbers we just gave you. 7.5% for consumer price index, okay, and 9.8% for the producers. So do you notice something different here? There's a difference between those two. So it's actually costing the producers more, and they're actually not raising prices as much as they could.
Yeah.
Right? So they're actually, I was reading an interesting report by a grocery store company that was saying, like, we've really tried to keep our overall prices impacted down so our consumers are not seeing that, and they're trying to insulate it as much as possible. But at some point, that's going to pop.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to insulate it for very much longer.
Right. And so this line that like, oh, it's not the government's fault, it's just corporate greed. It's just, I reject that wholeheartedly and encourage others to do the same.
No, if they can't get
little people. Is the military industrial complex publicly traded?
Yes, a lot of it is. Yes, think about.
I was going to say, because there's your sure bets.
Northrop Grumman, Boeing. Think about all the companies that, yeah, I mean, if you want to think about the areas where, and not to be cynical about it, but I mean, look, you know, you know, buying paper assets in companies that are propped up by the U.S. federal government. And, you know, at some point, will that thing pop as well? I mean, they're continuing to spend billions of dollars to buy airplane parts and all sorts of things and propping up with these $1 billion contracts. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could invest in those companies if you felt like you morally. I just couldn't do it morally. You know?
Yeah, I couldn't either.
You'd have a Tony Stark moment where you're just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm building these bombs. That. Like my money's going to contribute to these bombs. Yeah. Well, Bernie Sanders is not happy with Democrats. Bernie Sanders coming out and issuing a pretty scathing report about what he sees for Democrats in 2022. And of course, he ran for president and was, you know, marginalized by Democrats. He was called extremist. I remember the town hall that he did. He was on Fox News and all of the Fox News viewers were like, yes, what he is saying, yes, yes, yes. He was asking the crowd, is it extremist? You know, because Democrats were painting him as extremist to have health care. And the audience yelled, no.
Yeah. Right?
And then he said, is it extreme for us to not have a nation that's saddled with massive student loan debt? No. He's like, so I don't really think it's extreme, but Democrats, you know, the Bidens of the world wanted to paint him as extreme.
Yeah.
The right wanted to paint him as extreme. Well, Bernie Sanders coming out now saying that Democrats are failing. They're failing. He says the Democratic Party has turned its back on the working class. He says, and he says, we need a major course correction, among other things, right?
Well, he says the fact that we're spinning our wheels right now with this voting rights bill, which we know won't pass, is proof right there that Democrats are not interested in these social programs that they said they were when they were stumping just a year ago. For instance, okay, Build Back Better seems like it's hit a wall, but you absolutely could break the pieces out that would help people and put those things individually up for a bill and then and for a vote. And then we would see, because, okay, what's Joe Manchin say? I don't like Build Back Better because of these other things, because of the way that it will, you know, affect the bottom line, because there are things in here I don't support. Well, then let's parse it out. Let's put up a bill that is just about the child tax credit. Let's put up a bill that is just about community college. Mm-hmm. Let's put up all of these bills piecemeal instead of as one big package that we cannot pass. But they won't do it. They're too busy. What's the new word that you guys taught me? Virtue
signaling.
Posturing.
Virtue signaling. Yeah, yeah.
That, well, you know, we're doing great things. We support the American voter, right? Mm-hmm. We
Ron
support.
Paul.
Go ahead. What is Ron Paul?
I was just going to say Ron Paul actually put forward legislation to make bills so they were one topic. Like it was one thing you had to have each bill. And it was voted down, you know, like overwhelmingly. But the thing is, like with Bernie, I've noticed with Bernie since all of this, he's pretty much just, you know, lip service. I mean, he says that he wants to do all these things, but he doesn't really utilize like his power that he actually has. He has a very big base that he could use to push these people to do things, but he doesn't use it because he tries to, you know, be Joe Biden's my friend. You know, he's like he's afraid to push that. But now. He's only doing this because he says that the Democrats might lose. So why, like, is it only about that? Like, you could have been doing
right.
this all along.
Same thing with AOC, right? She says, yeah. Oh, we will go along with the Democrats' agenda, but they better get to our social agenda later. You just wait or we're not going to support you next round. Okay, here we go. This is the year. This is midterm year. So we'll see, because she didn't get a lot of what she wanted. And she was talking a big game about a year ago saying, we're not going to support you in the next midterm if you don't give us these social packages. She didn't get them. So let's see who she stumps for, right? Same thing.
Well, she specifically ran to say, like, I'm going to take on Pelosi. And she said, we are going to get Medicare for all, not within 100 years. We're going to do it now. Right. Yeah. And then that just totally collapsed, and she's like Nancy Pelosi's best friend now.
Right. Well, I really like this piece in the newsletter we linked to where Alyssa Milano says, I think that politicians should have to wear their corporate sponsors the same way NASCAR drivers do. Right. And I am for that because yes. then you would at least see why they won't do these sensical things.
There's not enough clothing to fit the sponsorships, right? They would need like multiple coats. They would need a cape to have cape. All, like, yeah. you know, you'd have like Boeing over here. You'd have all of these, you'd have Coca-Cola, you'd have Google, Facebook tattooed all over your body. These politicians there wouldn't be any, can you imagine any politician that would just have nothing printed on their clothing? Can we think of anybody? Ron Paul would be the only one, although he's not in politics anymore. There's no member. Maybe, I don't know, does Rand Paul take money? I mean, like, unlike his father?
Does. Justin Amash doesn't.
So there's maybe a few, like a handful, or they take like private grassroots organizational money or so right. forth. But even AOC takes money from big tech and so forth. So,
yeah.
But in this piece specifically, this Bernie Sanders piece, in an interview with The Guardian, Bernie Sanders says he's calling on Joe Biden. He's calling on the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to push to hold votes on individual bills that would be a boon to working families. Like Natalie said, like extend the child tax credit, just bring that to a floor vote, cutting prescription drug prices, raising the federal hour minimum wage to $15. He says such votes would be good policy and good politics. The Vermont senator insisted, saying that they would show the Democrats battling for the working class while highlighting Republican opposition to hugely popular policies. And I have to say, I agree with that. Now, to David's point, put your weight behind that arrow and see if you can actually get a movement on it. Chuck Schumer, though, is busy today, focused specifically on this voting rights legislation, and he's up for re-election in the fall. You know, Chuck Schumer could face primarying from AOC and others, but so that's why they're playing all of this voting rights legislation dog and pony show right now, because they're up for re-election. But here's an interesting point. Let's look at Virginia. Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, won in Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. And he really kind of disassociated himself with Trump. But what did he do while the rest of everyone else was talking about Trump and Trump craziness? What was he doing? Glenn Youngkin was talking to Virginians about your dollar is not going as far, your wages are low, you know, you guys are, he specifically talked about, what did he say specifically? Let me see. Broader, he would talk about education, kitchen table economic issues, grocery taxes. He was saying like, yeah, these grocery prices continue to go up. And those were the things that he was focused on, and he won.
Yes.
He won because of those kitchen table issues. And Democrats right now, they could really steal a playbook, a page from Glenn Youngkin's playbook, and actually talk about these issues and actually do something about these issues. And they're not.
No, they want to sing Hamilton.
Right.
Yeah.
They're taking a page out of Hillary Clinton's card from 2016, right. You know, and we know how that turned out.
Well, specifically now, Bernie Sanders is saying Build Back Better was demoralizing. Like, let's just stop it with that. It was just a marketing tool to show that, you know, the Democrats are stand for something, but they couldn't pass it anyway. And I feel the same way about Build Back Better. I have no love lost for this bill. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Bernie has the power. If he wanted to, he could start a campaign. He can get on the media anytime he wants. He could do op-eds in Washington Post and all this stuff like all these others do. When Manchin wanted to talk about what he was doing, he has the power to push things to happen. He just chooses not to do it until it's like why all of a sudden? You know what I mean?
Well,
because like I said, his base is huge.
It is. And then, you know, they have to walk this tightrope, right, with their party. And so I agree with you. But I also think, forget Bernie Sanders for a second. I mean, this is why Democrats are failing. It's that Joe Biden is not doing what we're talking about right here, which is talking about these kitchen table issues, increasing wages. President Biden had an opportunity to eliminate student loan debt, to go after, to talk about increasing wages. He totally kowtowed to the Senate parliamentarian on raising the minimum wage. Can you point to anything on one hand to what the Biden administration has accomplished so far? The only executive orders were undoing some of Trump's executive orders, really, at the beginning. Past that, what else? Can you really point to anything?
you're going to let one person, Joe Manchin, take it all down. One person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
In your own party.
As if this is the only way to go. Like, look, I put all our priorities and I wrapped it up in a sandwich baggie and I handed it to them and it got tossed back to me, right? So sorry, then I otherwise don't have the power. He does. He's choosing not to use it because my theory is he never really intended to.
Who are you talking
right.
about? President
Joe Biden.
Well,
and yeah. again,
not to just keep picking on Bernie, because I do like Bernie. But the thing is, if we've seen in right during this whole process how much power one senator can have, like Manchin. So why couldn't Bernie and the so-called progressive movement team together and have even more power than Manchin? It makes
because of big
sense.
Money, big corporate interest, and big money. Right?
I mean, they pretended when they voted for the infrastructure bill, they said, "Well, we're going to also get these social programs." They promised us. Build Back Better's coming plus, right? We're going to get the cherry on top if right. we voted for the infrastructure bill. The infrastructure bill passed with Bernie's support and other progressives who were promised something that they didn't get. So did they really think that they were going to get anything for it? No, but they still got in line. They fell in line.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe.
You wouldn't have thought so if you read Twitter, you know, like they can tweet like the, like, like, they're very, very hardcore when they tweet. But, boy, when it comes down to voting.
Yeah.
Very good when they tweet. We got more news to get to today. We're going to talk about those tax refunds, your tax refunds. You might be questioning and going, literally, the IRS has a website set up now. When you type in the words, where is my tax refund? That's how bad things have gotten. So we're going to tell you about how long it could be delayed and how well the IRS is actually doing this morning. We've got some new numbers on how much money they've managed to collect this year, record numbers. So we'll tell you about that and more. But first, let's tell you about our show sponsor. I want to tell you about our friends over at Athletic Greens. So Athletic Greens has changed my life. This is not hyperbole. I take it every day. Natalie, can you attest to this, please?
Yes, he does.
Yes, every day I take my Athletic Greens, every day. And I absolutely love it. It is now my go-to way of getting all of my vitamins. Now, I used to have like a huge pile, probably like you guys, right? I used to have like a huge pile of vitamins, you know, like bottles and supplements and all this kind of stuff. Now I don't. Now I just have my one Athletic Greens shake that I take. Tastes delicious. It's all natural. It's not filled with any kind of fillers or sugar. 75 different vitamins and minerals that you're getting inside your one Athletic Greens shake. You keep it in the refrigerator. It comes with a scoop. It comes with a really nice container, like a ceramic container. You put one scoop in about 12 ounces of water. You shake it up and you drink it and it's delicious. David, you got it too. You're a subscriber, right? Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, is this going to taste like crap? And you're like, wow, it tastes really good.
Yep. No, it is. It's really good. And it like a lot of those, I've had them before where you shake them and mix them and they still have the residue, the powdery residue. This doesn't. Like it all mixes in and it's nice and like it's really finely ground.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I was impressed with.
So what is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, and aptogenins to help you. I don't even know what adaptogens to help you start your day. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, focus, everything, your recovery. I take it after I take Grover on a walk in the morning. It's my go-to sort of, because I don't really eat breakfast, but this is sort of like my post-breakfast, before lunch kind of thing. Really supports better sleep quality, recovery, supports mental clarity and alertness. I love it. And I, you know, gets rid of all of those additional supplements instead of all those, you know, big bottles of supplements. Now,
well, and
to
I
make
gotta
it
say
easy,
my gut health, my overall gut health has been better with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I just lost it.
Yeah, I think it's with the probiotics, because I never really got into probiotics, but it has active probiotics in it or whatever, and it seems to help me digest food better, because I used to get like really bad indigestion and stuff after certain things, but since I've been drinking that, I've not been dealing with that as much.
So it's all about the probiotics, guys.
It is. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season or continuing it right now. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to take your health to the next level. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/invest. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/invest to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Our thanks to Athletic Greens for supporting the show and for changing my life. I didn't even know about them until they started sponsoring the show, and then I started ordering them. Now I have a monthly subscription. So
yeah, he even packs them when we travel.
Yeah. Yeah, I even pack them when I take a trip. I take the travel packs when I take a trip because they're so important to my daily routine. So thanks, Athletic Greens. All right.
All right. We reported recently that the Internal Revenue Service is warning any taxpayers that they may not, most likely will not, process returns on time this year. In fact, in a normal year, the IRS goes into tax season 1 million tax returns behind. That means they are not processing refunds in any timely manner. This year, they say they are many orders of magnitude beyond that. They are about 6 million behind rather than just 1 million.
That's the government working for you.
That's interesting because the monthly Treasury statement released today, or yesterday rather, shows that they are collecting on time. They are cashing checks, but not issuing refunds. In fact, their collections topped $1 trillion for the first time in the quarters that accounts for October through December. They're calling this the fiscal quarter Q1 of 2022, but really it refers to October, November, and December of the months most recently passed.
So congratulations to the IRS.
Yes.
You guys are doing fantastic, taking our money, but not actually giving us our refunds.
Now, normally in that same quarter, and in any given quarter, they collect around $900 billion. But they are now over $1 trillion for the first time. So why is that? It's interesting, right? Because this was a year where taxes were extended for a month beyond deadline. But most people who file an extension would file their payments for their businesses in September and their personal returns in October. So was that collection of so many people filing their extensions, or are more people making more money and therefore they're just collecting more? The tax rate did not go up. It has no Democratic tax plans have been implemented. So this is, you know, this should otherwise be a normal year or a down year considering the state of the economy. Well, it's interesting. So I pulled out some of the charts from this. Let's look at specifically not that one. We can look at that one to start with because that is a normal year of collection, right? So look at the order of magnitude that 2021 is above. But where are these taxes coming from? So let's go back to that pie graph. You, they're coming from you. The most, the majority of collections.
So they're not coming from like big Wall Street companies.
They're coming from working families. So look at the blue, right? The blue is individual tax returns. And the orange is, let's say, your Social Security or your retirement payments. That's what's coming out of your paycheck, right? And going into the government savings so that you can draw on it when you retire. Where is the chart that shows, maybe that's not it. Yes, this one. Okay, but look at the little bar on the left that's green. That's corporate taxes. So the majority of the United States budget, what we're spending, what we're expecting to come in so that we can spend, is coming from you. That you pay, you working people, us, all of us, right? We're paying for the top two big green chunks. Corporations are only paying a small amount. So when the politicians say, oh, we really need to get corporate America to pay more taxes, we don't budget for that. In fact, it doesn't seem like we ever have. And what's like gift tax, excise tax, like these little things that the United States makes money on. But no, it's really us, people who work, who are the cog in the wheel that the United States needs to continue. Like, it needs people. It needs the Matrix to be feeding itself with people, human effort. So then if you look on the right.
Yeah, this is the, I want to, draw your attention to the right side of the screen.
Of what we're spending it on. Yeah. Yes, we all should actually care and argue on what it's spent on. That's a different thing. But I think what's most interesting is what we're running on. We're running on human labor power.
Yeah, human capital. And we're seeing right now the jobs numbers, right? We're seeing that like employment numbers, unemployment numbers out this morning show that, hey, people aren't filing unemployment insurance claims anymore. It's down significantly. So, what's going on here? Well, we see that also Americans are quitting at record levels. There's something totally out of whack here, right? We saw 4.5 million Americans say we're done, we're quitting, we're out of our, we're not going into the workforce anymore.
But people are working and paying taxes. The government is collecting on it.
Go back to that chart really quick because, you know, understand this again, you guys, every single dollar in circulation is our money, right? Every single dollar is our money. So basically, we're getting taxed on our money and we're paying that top thing. And then we're taking the money that we have left and we're buying things from corporations that they don't spend, they don't have to pay the taxes on. So they're getting our money twice. And, right. And so the corporations are keeping our money and they're not getting, like, we're not getting much of it back in their taxes. Like, and we don't get any of that back anyway, to be, you know, fair. But like, that's just like this circle that just benefits the rich and benefits the government. And we're paying for the whole thing.
Yeah. Look at the national defense right in the center there, right? $207 billion. So, you know, as Americans, you're paying $535 billion. Half of that goes right out the door to Boeing and Northrop Grumman and building bombs and building gas masks and everything else, right? For us to continue foreign wars and building, you know, military bases around the world, right? Look at that.
Right.
And then look at education.
Yeah.
Look down at the bottom for education. Do you think our priorities are out of whack in the United States?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting if you look at this again. I was just fixated on this chart. Okay. Medicare is very expensive. We know that, right? This is just insurance for either people who are disabled or elderly. And then healthcare is different than Medicare. I'm not sure why they don't just label that Medicaid, because Medicaid is health insurance for people who are in extreme poverty. So is that health? Because otherwise we have no national health care. You pay for your own health care if you're a working adult. I'm not sure what that is. And then the interest payment, this $102 billion interest on the debt, because what the United States collects and what it spends is different by 300.
Well, look at this. Yeah, here on the chart, 307. See the yellow part here? This is a very, very important chart. Look at the left here, okay? And see that yellow chunk down there? That's our deficit. Because you can see the inwards coming here, right? You see what's coming in. And then you see, sorry, Grover. Grover's really pissed off about this too. So you see the income, right? Individual income taxes coming in. Then you see social insurance and retirement coming in. Corporate income taxes coming in. And then there's a huge discrepancy of $378 billion between what they're bringing in and how much is going out. Well, guess what? A huge chunk of that's going to national defense. $207 billion could almost help eliminate the entire national debt deficit if we were able to restructure this. I mean, just look, you know, we want to blame Social Security, right? That's what people love to do, is blame Social Security, right?
But you know what we should do? We should swap individual income taxes with corporate income tax. That should be completely swapped.
Swap. Say that again. We should swap.
We should swap individual income taxes and corporate income tax. Those two should be swapped. It should be $99 billion from us and $535 billion from corporations.
I love that idea. Yeah, that's not going to happen, though, of course. But it's a nice pie in the sky idea.
Yeah, because then you can roll that deficit up into there, too.
And, you know, you hear all this argument like, well, and then Democrats, we got to have to go after the estates, like the large estates and gift taxes. Like, look at that little sliver at the very bottom. Like, really? That's really what we want to go after? That's really going to be the thing that's going to help us?
Yes.
Taxing the wealthy?
And you have to remember that corporations only pay taxes on their profit, right? That's not how it works for an average person. We pay taxes on every dollar that comes into our household as people. Corporations, it doesn't work like that. They only pay taxes on what's left over. So corporations are then motivated to continue to spend what they have so they can grow their companies in a way that we cannot grow our households.
Right.
That's yeah. Congress writes that into the tax code for a reason, because they think it encourages innovation.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, bottom line on this is that the government can make a boatload of money from you. It's doing an amazing job of hiring people to come after you to make sure that you're sending in your IRS, your taxes on time, right? They can cash that. They can set record numbers of income taxes that are coming in. But when you want to get your tax refunds, they don't have the resources. They won't answer your phone calls. 3% of all phone calls are even answered at the IRS, according to the new data. So, hey, good on them. They're really taking care of you guys.
Yeah.
Really taking care
of you
guys.
I think that number was 9%.
No, 7% of phone calls are answered only, but 3% of them are even handling questions about your income taxes.
Oh, okay. So they'll pick up the phone and tell you to pound sand.
They're like, hello?
That's nice.
Here, it's John here at the IRS. I can't help you.
Nothing makes sense.
Exactly, Judge. Always the voice of reason in a crazy environment. Thank you, Judge.
All right. You put this Danish newspaper story in the chat. I'm going to let you lead, because
this is an amazing story. Okay. I want to call your attention to this story.
This is something you're on fire about.
I saw this. Barry Weiss tweeted this. Said, whoa. Just one word, whoa. And a Danish newspaper, so out of Denmark, is admitting and apologizing for journalistic failure during COVID-19. And admitting in their newspaper, we failed, quote, we failed, only by publishing official government messages without questioning. Specifically, they're basically saying that, hey, we took information from the government, from these heads of state, and we just basically regurgitated them and wrote them right into the newspaper without questioning them at all. In fact, we failed. That's the headline by the tabloid outlet Extra. This is a tabloid, by the way, in Denmark. So, I mean, think about, would you ever see like the New York Post showing such contrition?
No. I don't think tabloid means the same in Denmark. They don't have the same like celebrity obsession.
I guess.
So
yeah.
Tabloid. Not like the Inquirer. Right. I think it's maybe a bit of a different subset.
Let me specifically dive deeper into what they say. They say, for almost 2 years, we, the press and the population, have been almost hypnotically preoccupied with the authorities' daily coronavirus figures. They are basically saying, hey, we were taking the data that they were giving us. We were regurgitating it in our print newspapers, and we were wrong. We were wrong, and we were wrong for just regurgitating that. We failed you. There seems to be like an awakening in a way among some of the press.
It does seem like that. And they also said, we took the government's use of the word super weapon when it comes to vaccines. It says vaccines were consistently referred to as our super weapon, and our hospitals called super hospitals. Nevertheless, these super hospitals are apparently maximally pressured. Even children were vaccinated. And they said, you know, the government told us vaccines would stop the spread. That has not borne out to be the case. Now, the scientific community is even admitting that vaccines do not stop the spread. And so we eat crow about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty amazing piece from a major newspaper to come out on its major like front page and say we're sorry, especially at a time when you can look at like a lot of these other papers who clearly took money from governments to publish front page stories like this in the UK. Like how convenient that all of these papers on the very same day have from the National National Health Services all of this stuff on the front page of all of these major newspapers telling them what to do. Right. If you've ever questioned whether or not the media is in cahoots with government, look no further than what happened over the past few days and how these past few years and how these governments basically just regurgitated or took these things and printed them as truth. Like here's your quote. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wonder how much we paid for that front page ad.
Well, that's in the United States.
That's in the UK.
The NHS is
the
government.
The UK. Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, these are UK papers. The Sun, the Guardian,
and their national health system is paid for by taxpayers.
So, but gotcha.
Yes, they all did pay for that.
But it's amazing that they all did this on the same day. You know, it's like, but hey, you even see the reports about Davos. You see all of these people, all of these world leaders being invited to Davos. They're sent a letter. We're excited to have you come here to Davos to talk about the Great Reset. It's important now for all of us as world leaders and the press to really focus on 2021 and beyond as a Great Reset. We're moving
2022,
past
2022, honey.
No, no, no. But these were the letters being sent from Davos in 2021. When you come join us, we're going to be focused on what's known as the Great Reset. It's an opportunity for us to advance things beyond COVID-19, a new world order, as these letters were going out to the media and world leaders. Like, come here, come to this billionaire retreat, and we're going to tell you what to say going forward. I mean, they're all, if you've ever wondered about big media and government being in cahoots with one another, it's all part of the same machine. I just was struck by this, because to say that we have not been vigilant enough is what the newspaper went on to say. We have not been vigilant enough at the Garden Gate when the authorities were required to answer what it actually meant that people are hospitalized with corona and not because of corona, because it makes a difference, a big difference. The newspaper writes. It also says that politicians and authorities have lied about other aspects of the pandemic, and that has caused the population to lose trust in the media. This right. is from a major newspaper saying, I mean, and I like this take on this. Wouldn't CNN's ratings, maybe it wouldn't be down 90% from last year in the key 25 to 54 demographic if they simply owned up to their complicity in breathlessly spewing government propaganda.
Right.
You're cracking me up.
Sorry, Brian, but it's true. Right?
Another newspaper in Germany, The Bild, also apologized recently, saying, "We have been feeding you poison, basically, and making you feel like you were in mortal danger all the time, and we must accept responsibility for that." And
it's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
What's happening in Europe?
So I'm going to ask, if our media is apologizing to us unilaterally, do we then collectively say, put a yes or no in the chat, apology accepted, yes or no? Just wondering what you think about that. You're going to have to scroll down on
the
there
media
and
is
see
apologizing.
What people... Yeah, I want to know. Is apology accepted, yes or no? Just wondering.
Yeah, let us know in the chat. You know, but it is interesting if you think about what's happening in Europe. There is an awakening. I'm going to call it like the European awakening, because over the past 48 hours, we've talked about a number of stories out of the EU where the European Union yesterday, we reported here on the show,
yeah,
saying that multiple boosters are bad for your body, bad for your immune system. That's coming for the European Union specifically, right, reporting that. There is a movement, was it?
And the Prime Minister of Spain is saying now we are considering classifying coronavirus on the lines of the flu. And so we no longer stop down our society for it. We combat it not as an endemic disease, basically, something that it happens.
And what about testing and closing down classrooms as a result of that?
In
Europe.
Oh, in Europe now, they will not close bubbles and classrooms in certain countries if there is an infection. And we've seen that in some U.S. states as well.
So, well, and I want to speak to the apology really quick, because I feel like we have to have a road to redemption for these people, even if they, you know, are the mainstream and all that other stuff, because like they were fed propaganda just like us, and we can't expect them, you know, I mean, yeah, they're journalists and stuff and they should have seen through that. But like, you know, the fact that they came out and they did what they did, that there has to be a road to redemption for people when they do this stuff, because like they realized, you know, maybe people think it's a little too little too late, but I don't think that's the case, because now they can do good going forward and educate people and actually be truthful. So I would forgive them.
I agree with you. I think that that's a great way to, I mean, first of all, we should all have second chances, right? And we should all be able to give, you know, these companies second chances. And I think, look, that's the case, right? All of these countries, we have, you know, the CDC, we have the WHO. You know, the WHO came out initially at the beginning of the pandemic and said that this was not human to human transmissible, right? That was from the WHO, right? You had major government entities telling us certain things and then completely reversing course. And you know, and we, as the press, were regurgitating those things because these are trusted government sources, right? We should be getting our information. These guys are like the highest of the high, right?
Yeah.
So can you really blame them?
But I fully admit that I've gone along this, like, with the media, you know, okay, masks don't work. Okay, we all need to wear masks or else we're selfish a-holes. Okay, vaccines are the way out. Okay, I'm not taking that vaccine. Okay, anyone who doesn't take the vaccine is selfish. Okay, you know, anyone who opens a hair salon is selfish. Wait, I don't believe that. You know, like, I have gone that way too with them. And I feel like ever since we at least started the show and the newsletter, I'm like, okay, cooler heads can prevail. You don't have to be thrown away around like a ship on the, you know, wild sea.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to be like a corkscrew of the sea. Hey, someone just says in the chat, hey, Clayton and Natalie, can you give a shout out to Helen from Georgia?
Sure.
She'll be 84 years old soon, and she's an awesome YouTuber. Yes. Yes, wow. We will. Shout out. And thanks to all of you for subscribing and being a part of our show here. We've got more news to get to. We're going to tell you about what's trending today on the old internet. But first, you want to tell us about our friends over at Grammarly?
First, we're going to tell you about how to sound smarter when you write texts, emails, and documents with Grammarly. Grammarly is a program that you install into whatever you're writing, and it helps to point out where you might be able to strengthen your language, make your sentences perhaps a little bit less passive, or correct your spelling, punctuation, and grammar when needed in a nice way. Now, if you still want to use your slang or your passive voice in some ways, you still can tell Grammarly, no, I mean it this way. But for the most part, Grammarly has a smart AI-powered writing assistant that helps you jump boldly into the fray with clear, mistake-free writing. It helps keep every pitch, every email, every proposal, every deck pristine. For instance, it will help point out if you're using the wrong there, or there, or your, or it's with a contraction, or it's without. That's a big one. The key to strong writing is simplicity. It would be if I could say it properly.
Yeah, does it correct you when you say, when you can't say simplicity?
It will not it will not help you with your spoken text. I apologize.
Oh, you're
have
trouble.
To just, I know.
You're in trouble.
It will if you dictate.
That's true.
If you dictate or if you just push play and allow it to speak for you. But I am speaking in real life and I am beyond reproach.
And it integrates with Gmail. So right inside gmail.com, right inside of Microsoft Word, we're right inside of Google Documents.
Yes.
All right inside there.
It also can help you if it thinks that you're writing a professional email and you're being a bit too casual or using too much slang. It will say, oh, do you really want to use this tone with this person? Which can save you in a lot of ways because obviously you don't speak out into the professional world the way you do to the people who live in your house. So it will help you to be more confident in your communications. Right now, you can start the year off right with a Grammarly premium membership, and you can get 20% off just for being a Morning Invest listener. That is grammarly.com/invest, grammarly.com/invest, and get 20% off of this product, which you will not stop using once you start. We thank them so much for their support of this show.
I wouldn't be able to do our newsletter every day without Grammarly. Absolutely an essential writing tool for us here at Morning Invest.
Indeed. Yeah,
I've been using it for a year now, and what's cool about it is also, I even without it on my phone, because of what I've learned on Grammarly, I catch myself using punctuation and stuff that I forgot how to use otherwise.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. Excellent.
Yeah. Someone sent me a nasty email a couple of weeks ago, and there was no punctuation. It looked like it was written by a 4-year-old, and I felt like just sending them like a free subscription to Grammarly. Like, I was like, you know what? Sorry.
I'm going to pay for that.
Like, you're going to criticize me, and it literally made no sense. I couldn't even understand her sentence structure. It was awful.
It's not her fault. You saw government spending on education.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, government, see, this is why American education system in the toilet. Look at that education.
All right, we're going to tell you what's trending online before we get you out of here.
All right, what is trending on the internet?
Coachella is going forward this year, you guys, and the lineup has been announced. Here is the lineup, and it is going to happen in April. Headliners include Billie Eilish, Harry Styles, and Ye, which is formerly Kanye.
Okay, so what is, like, I haven't been to one of these music festivals in.
Is it, are you sure? Is it Yee?
Yeah, because it's down the Yee is the shoes, right?
Okay, I don't know. Sorry.
Yeezys? I think. I could be totally wrong. I thought it was that had to do with the shoes, the Yeezys, the Yee.
Maybe. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I'm most excited about here in the middle of the screen, obviously Billie Eilish is great, but like, look at Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman, of course, who is the great movie soundtrack. He was also a member of Oingo Boingo back in the day. But Danny Elfman, who, you know, did the Batman soundtrack, all of like every Tim Burton movie.
Yeah. You
know, he's performing.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
What was the one where Bruce Willis was a cat burglar?
Would
you like to swing on a star?
Oh, I can't think
Harry
of the name.
Harry Moonbeam, so many jobs.
Out of this world?
No, what was it? Was like, no. I know what you're thinking of. It's it starts with an H.
Hudson Hawk.
Hudson Hawk. Yeah. Hudson Hawk. But anyway, yeah, he's done so many amazing. So I'm like, wow, Danny Elfman's performing? All right, I go see that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll not be going.
No, you won't.
But I'm not of the ilk.
I'm not
a
fan of Coachella.
I'm not a fan of any concert events like that. I'm not going to stand outside where I can't sit down and.
Like Jerry Seinfeld, he's like, I don't know. I just don't want to go see a man sing a song. remember that a Seinfeld episode? They're asking him if he wanted to go see Mel Torme. He's like, I don't know. I was like, I don't want to go see a man sing a song.
Who is the classic guy that your parents wanted you to go to see, like Liberace or something?
Well, I saw Liberace.
Like,
No, I saw Liberace was the first concert I ever went to as a little kid. we lived in Philadelphia or outside of Philadelphia. We drove in Cherry Hill. We drove across the bridge. They took me. So it was my mom, my dad, and me. I was like a baby. Not a baby, because I remember in the Round concert hall watching Liberace down in the Round at the Mann Music Center playing songs. And I fell asleep in the car on the way back, but that was my first concert. But no, it was a number of years ago. I was in high school and it was Burt Bacharach.
Oh, I would go to that.
My parents wanted me to go see Burt Bacharach. They're like, we're going to go. You want to go, right? And I'm like, no. Like I want to hang out with my friends or play Nintendo. I don't want to go to a Burt Bacharach concert. My mom's like, you realize like he's a great American songwriter, right? Like, you know, raindrops.
Would you go now?
Now, because Burt Bacharach died.
Right. But would you go?
Now knowing like what Burt Bacharach's song catalog. Yes. I would absolutely want to go see Burt Bacharach play. Does that make
me
old?
Could you imagine him and Carole King together?
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, this is very telling about us, guys. We don't have any interest in Coachella, but we would go see
Burt. We would go see Burt Bacharach.
Were you mesmerized by Liberace, though, just out of curiosity?
I remember, I mean, I was like a baby or a child. I don't know how old I was. I'd have to ask my mom how old I was. But I remember just, yeah, it was an amazing thing in my brain to see like this guy with a white piano in his down in the center. In a round, I think it was the Mann Music Center, if the Mann or whatever the Round one was in King of Prussia near Philadelphia. And I think the stage turned. So he was just a man and a piano and everyone was going crazy for him.
What was your first concert, David?
My first concert was Michael W. Smith.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Michael W. Christian. Smith. Was it Life is a Highway?
No. No, well, Michael W. Smith is a Christian artist.
Michael W. Smith.
Life is a Highway, I thought, was the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
No, or something. Michael J. Smith?
No. Mine was Diana Ross.
Did you say, was it Michael J. Smith?
Yeah. And I just remember being fascinated. Her hair was big and flowing. It was amazing.
I always thought she was gorgeous.
Yeah, she is. Not was. Okay,
I thought she passed.
Life is a Highway.
Diana Ross is alive.
Okay.
I'm going to look that up right now, but I would know if, yeah, she is alive.
Okay, okay.
Tom Cochran sang Life is a Highway.
Yeah. This is how rumors start, you guys. Okay, Diana Ross is very much alive.
What do you need here?
I want to see if anyone else shared with us their first concert, because I like that.
Yeah, let us know in the chat. Mine was, Purple Rain says mine was Guy.
Dolores said that Burt Bacharach is not dead.
Oh, really?
I think that is not true.
That's got it. Come on. I mean, he was like 80 when my parents went to go see him.
No, he is alive. He's 93.
Wow. Is he still performing? Rick Springfield.
Sorry, Burt. We didn't mean to spread misinformation.
Yeah, sorry, Burt. We're sorry.
Wow, you guys. I'll tell you
this, the first concert that I went to that I actually bought tickets and I went, like, and my parents didn't drag me along, was Led Zeppelin, the No Quarter Tour.
Hmm. Wow. Wait, you went to see Led Zeppelin?
Yes.
That's awesome. And you didn't know, how old were you?
I was probably 22, 23. It was the No Quarter where they traveled with the Indian band, like they had a whole orchestra and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, guys, we started this with Coachella, and then we went totally, like, as uncool as we could be. I mean,
hey, one of my favorite concerts, I saw Pink Floyd, 1994.
Yeah, you're not modernizing yourself at all. Stop, just because we're...
All right, I'm going to go see Billie. I'm going to go see Billie Eilish.
Go mix fiber in your water and get out of here. Ronnie Spector is trending.
Jukebox. That was a good modern.
Okay, all right, cool. I think the last modern thing I saw was Lady Gaga. Okay, Ronnie Spector is trending because the famous singer from the Ronettes, I think is what is, was the name of her band, famous for singing Be My Baby. She died on Wednesday at the age of 78 after her battle with cancer. Peacemaker is trending.
Hold on, the Ronettes, aren't the Ronettes, Veronica Bennett, her older sister Estelle Bennett, and her cousin Nedra Talley. They started as teenagers in the, as the Darling Sisters.
Okay.
Ronnie Spector. Oh yeah, I guess she was Ronnie Spector, the vocalist
from the Ronettes. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Okay. Again, keeping it modern here, you guys. Peacemaker is trending because the series premiere on HBO Max will be today. I think it is a superhero comedy. The trailer really perplexes me.
It's kind of like Shazam, I think.
I guess.
That's the character that was in Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah.
Is he reprising that role?
It's John Cena.
Yes, yeah. It's John Cena. And it will be...
He played that character in the newest Suicide Squad by James Gunn.
Okay, okay. I still haven't seen that.
Okay.
Wordle 208X is trending because the Wordle challenge on Wednesday was very perplexing to a lot of people. The word of the day was favor, and it was spelt the American way. And so British people were really pissed off about it because the British spelling has an O-U-R. And so these are some tweets saying, I just can't do this because I'm British. Otherwise, I would have got it. People are, you know, on their winning streaks.
I hear people talking about Wordle every day.
Like, you do?
Yeah, I do. And I'm like, I feel, and I don't know anything about it. I know that, like, you know, you don't want to mess people up. Don't give them hints or whatever, because, like, people look forward to it every day now. Like, it's their thing.
Right. Yeah. I'm not clear on how to play it. I would, I guess. I like simple games more
that
than I
like.
That
doesn't look simple.
Yeah.
No, I don't know
what's going on there.
Well, okay, you know what I mean. Like Sudoku and Solitaire and stuff like that.
I got to bring this up. Tammy Diaz, her first concert was Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn.
Ooh.
Wow.
Could you
imagine? That's really something.
Yeah.
Somebody's saying there, we just saw, I think our last concert that we saw was Fleetwood Mac.
No, it was
Phil Collins?
Phil Collins, I think.
No, I think we saw Fleetwood Mac after Phil Collins.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, just a few, years
both.
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah, those were great shows.
I love Stevie Nicks. I've seen her in concert solo a couple of times. Love.
Is
Stevie
Lindsay
Nicks.
Still in there? That
No,
Lindsay, no, he was fired by them.
We also saw Paul McCartney, and I fell asleep because his set was so long. He's got like 40 years on me, and I was like, and Clayton's like, he's still going. That guy, it was like he could prove something.
2.5 hours. He just kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
You know?
I did have a tiny baby at the time, but.
Yeah. Anyway. So she was, not a lot of sleep.
And finally, Adam Sandler is trending because he was rumored to be dead on Wednesday. He is not.
No, he's not.
Neither is Diana Ross or Burt Bacharach.
So hot. So hot.
Don't start any rumors. Just there was a TikTok video that said, I'm sad he's dead, and he's not dead.
Huh.
I was thinking.
That's how rumors start.
The kids, it would be. It's high time for me. I want to show them Happy Gilmore. I think that'd be a good, funny movie for them to see.
That's kind of dirty, isn't it?
Happy Gilmore is not dirty. I don't think, right? Is there anything?
Yeah, it's got some, you know, a little bit of adult humor, but.
It's got some language in it, but, you know, hey, we're from New Jersey. Our girls, it's nothing they can't handle.
All right.
Yeah, it's just like them being in a schoolyard.
I really liked Waterboy, too.
I hated Waterboy.
I thought it was funny.
I hated Waterboy.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's funny, you know, how these, we used to do a show called The Trending Show, and there was always someone who fake died on the internet regularly, but that doesn't seem to be a thing anymore.
Morgan Freeman dies every year, doesn't he?
Perhaps. Betty White used to die a lot on the internet. Now she died in real life.
I know, when I saw the news about Betty White a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, another...
Like, she's not dead. She's not dead. And then I was like, oh, she actually is. I started
diving more deeply into it. I'm like, wait a second, really? No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Do we have super chats to get to?
We do. We have two super chats.
You just have an episode?
DJ Natronic. DJ Natronic. There we go. Buying my first property, a fourplex, 108K, crypto funded.
Wow.
Wow.
Good for you. Where? I'm curious where that's happening.
I'm curious how you work with a title company when you have crypto money, if they are prepared for that, because a lot of times, you know, they don't know exactly what to do with it.
Well, I would say on the crypto front, I'm excited for the real estate side of things. I would think that that's an unbelievable opportunity for the blockchain and for NFTs, you know, for there to be specific non-fungible token tied specifically to a real estate transaction so that there's no cloud on title, that we know where this property was before, who owned it, chain of title. There's no, you know, all of that stuff. I think it'd be really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. That is pretty cool. Kazmira Flanagan, mid 2020 Connecticut, our family home sold. Only serious buyers were non-American Chinese. Is Wall Street home investing a move against foreign players?
Perhaps.
Not really. I mean, look, China right now is the biggest bubble that the world has ever seen. And there's plenty of data showing that when China collapses, it is going to bring down the entire world economy. The housing bubble in China is out of control, and the Chinese investors have bought up most of Vancouver. So when this Chinese real estate collapse happens, it's going to bring down a lot of commercial real estate with them. And Vancouver specifically is going to see a lot of the ramifications and, I guess, ripple effects of what happens in China in the commercial real estate space. So that's going to be a very interesting thing going forward. I mean, Evergrande is just the tip of this iceberg. There are a lot of other real estate developers in China that are in a worse boat, you know, maybe not by scale, but as equally bad as Evergrande. I mean, you have 20% of all Chinese homes are these properties are just vacant. Mm. They're vacant. They're there. It's all fake artificial planning and money right now. So anyway.
It's okay, an interesting question, though.
Yeah, that's the last of the super chats.
All right.
All right. Well, we will not see you tomorrow, and we will see you on Monday. We're taking a Friday off for personal day, and we will see you here tomorrow, but there will be a newsletter. So keep yourself informed by making sure you're subscribed to morninginvest.com, and hey, hit that like button if you would be so kind to help YouTube show other people this conversation so we can invite new people. We like new people.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to the channel. You know, YouTube shows us that 70% of you watch the show, but you aren't subscribed. So, hey, let's up that number a little bit. Just subscribe. It's totally free to be a subscriber here on YouTube. And that way you can turn on that little bell notification, too, when you subscribe. So when we go live, you'll get the notification because YouTube takes about 10 minutes to send out those notifications. But at least they send them out. You'll be notified. You'll be, oh, hey, Morning Invest is live. I got to go watch my favorite morning show. And then you'll be good to go.
And we'll be here.
We'll be here.
Yeah.
With bells on. All right. So, yeah, we won't be here tomorrow doing a live show, but we will be back on Monday covering all the news that the mainstream media will ignore. It's going to be an interesting next few days in Washington, seeing if they can get their act together on any kind of meaningful stimulus. Probably not, though.
All right. Thank you for joining us today. We have enjoyed your conversation this week, and we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.